heard an evangelist one time, and he said that pastors need to preach in the prophetic. And here's what he meant right there. Listen, I've got wonderful notes here. These are good, awesome, anointed notes. And we're going to go through these. But here's what he was saying is, we can't just get up here, and we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. And so we're going to watch this clip. Amen. All right. Let me set this up. I believe that Jonathan Kahn is a prophet to the nations, but certainly to America. And his story is amazing. He wrote this book, and he is waiting for a plane that was late, I think, and he meets this guy who is, I forget his connection, but this guy is like, I don't know, the vice president for Zondervan Books or something, you know what I mean? Just incredible. And I'm not sure that was the right connection, but very connected gentleman. And he starts telling him about this book. And the next thing you know what, it gets published. And yeah, if you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's an incredible book. But I believe there are some things that are happening in our nation. And I believe, and we're going to go over it in a little bit, but I believe our nation is turning away from God. The principles that are clearly stated in the Word of God, that our nation is turning from God. And I want to teach you today how we can be safe in a very unsafe place. Because I believe that God's protection, not because God is choosing this, but because our nation seems to be choosing to get rid of the principles that were once very important to our nation. I in this clip, Jonathan Kahn is going to, and I'm giving you some history, because history is not something that I believe is taught very much in our school system, but he's talking about President Lincoln's second inaugural address, and he's talking about the Civil War and the mess that it was, and he's declaring that we need to come to the Lord, and he's going to tell you after that address that things started to change, and the war started to change, and the North won the war, and we stayed united. And also, the slavery was legal, and it became illegal, which was a godly thing. And so I want you to listen to this clip, but I want you not only listen to it for that context, but what he talks about after, and about the importance of us turning to God.
Help. We pray for your blessing in the will of God. For if a nation that once knew the Almighty is called to return to him, then so too must the one who leads it. You will hold in your hand the Bible of Abraham Lincoln. But do you not know what Lincoln said and did? In the midst of the darkness that engulfed this land once before, the darkness he saw as the righteous judgment of God, Lincoln issued a call to the nation. He said this: "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with the assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." "And in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisement in this world, may we not justly fear that this awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but punishment inflicted upon us for our own presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. So Lincoln, send forth this call to America to repent, to return to God, to seek his mercy. And soon after that call went forth, the tide of war began to turn and would ultimately lead to national healing. The words of Abraham Lincoln ring out to us today, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Has this nation grown so far from God that we cannot even imagine a president doing so today? Mr. President, if you look to Lincoln as your model, then dare to follow him in his actions. For all the politics and all the parties and all the inaugural balls and all the voices of political correctness and all the sounds of applause will grow silent and still. And we will be left, each of us, all of us, to stand before the Almighty. And it will not matter then how many votes we won or how much praise we garnered, only that we were faithful to him and faithful to his word. The voice of Lincoln now cries out to us and pleads with us, let us humble ourselves, confess our national sins, and pray for forgiveness. As it is written and promised in the Word of God, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We have come here on the 21st day of January 2013 to the capital city on the day of the presidential inauguration for that purpose, to humble ourselves and pray and to seek his face and to turn from our evil ways. The time is late. The hour is critical. A great nation proceeds in rapid spiritual descent, and the signs of warning and judgment are manifesting in this land. The shadow of judgment is upon us, and for those who would ask how in light of judgment can one be saved or safe, we give the answer. The word in Hebrew for safety and salvation is Yeshua. Yeshua is the name which we know in English as Jesus. Outside of him there is no safety, but inside of him there is no fear. It was for him, and in his name that this nation, this civilization, this city on the hill named America came into existence. And it's only in him and in his name that its problems can ultimately be answered. He remains the answer, the light in the darkness, the hope when all other hopes are faded and gone. And to all who come, he will receive, and he calls out, come. For all you who hear this message and you dwell in darkness, it's time to come and you will not be turned away. And for all you who know him, you his people, it's time to put away any shade of darkness and compromise and take up the mantle of your calling. It's time to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world you are called to be in truth, in power, in love. It's time to light up the darkness. It's time to be strong. It's time to be bold. It's time to be radical. The watchman is crying out. The trumpets are sounding. The voice of the Lord is calling to this nation, saying, return, return. Let the word go forth. Let the power of God be seen in this land. Let revival burst forth like a mighty river. The voice is calling. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. Let every mountain and hill be cast down, and every valley be lifted up. And let the crooked way become straight. Let the rough way become smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Kumi ori kiva orech, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen on and you in the name above every name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Light of the World, the Hope of America, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and the glory of his people Israel. Amen and amen and amen. To him be the glory.
How many know it's going to be a good day today? This is a man that I believe is a prophet to our nation. If I look at what our government continues to do, I don't see that they are heeding his warnings. Thank you. Seems to me like America, and when I say it seems to me, it's very clear that we continue to move away from the principles that have made us strong. And with all of our imperfections as a country, we have been strong because we have declared that in our laws that God's word is true and his ways are prosperous, and so we'll develop laws that will follow his ways, and the Bible says that God's paths are dripping with abundance. We have been that light on a hill. We have been the most prosperous nation on the face of this earth, and that is a direct result of not our intelligence and not our military, but a direct result of us humbling ourselves and putting God in that first place of position. And again, please, I'm not saying that's done perfectly, because I know it hasn't been done perfectly, but it has been done, and you are a recipient of the blessings that have come. Of a repenting of sin. You know what? I mean, it was President Lincoln who took leadership. More people died in the Civil War than in any other battle. And let me tell you, one of the primary reasons why that battle was fought was for the freedom of slavery. I didn't say it was the only one, but it was one of the primary reasons it was fought. And so what I want to teach you today is to not be in despair that you are living. See, if I'm in a van and somebody who's a very, very safe driver is driving, then I'm going to be blessed because that van is going to be safe. Does that make sense? But that's not taking place in America. There's people who are driving our nation who are in places of authority. And it's not just one, it's many. Please hear me. I promise today I will not be, I'm plagiarizing, you know what, the gentleman that you just heard. At the beginning of this talk, he says this, and go and listen to the whole thing because it's outstanding. But he says this, I will not be politically correct today. He says, I will be biblically correct today, but I will not be politically correct today. And he said, I apologize that I cannot apologize because I will not apologize. Amen. And I want to say that to you. My goal today is not to offend you. Although I might offend you. But my goal today is to speak to truth and to tell the truth. Because we are becoming void of this country of leadership. People don't want to lead. And pastors need to be the first to lead people out of our spiritual malaise. Out of the darkness that we have, you know what, drawn ourselves to, and that we have drawn ourselves to. And I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the church. I want to teach you today how we can be in the midst. Because let me tell you what, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. That's a fact. I'll show it to you in the Word. Judgment is coming. But I want to teach you how you can be safe and saved. Safe and saved, whole. They're all the same word in Greek. And you can be safe. You can be saved. You can be whole. You can be in the midst of protection, in the midst of a storm. And I want to show it to you. But before I show that to you, I want to ask some questions. Because these questions need to be asked and they need to be answered. We assume things. I was talking to somebody came and was helping us fix our doorbell the other day, and he came and he was 30 something. And I thought I'm gonna pick his brain, and I'm not gonna be rude, but I'm gonna ask him, hey, do you got 5 minutes? Can I ask you? I'm not trying to evangelize you, but I want to hear what you think. And as we talked, and the first question I asked him, I said, do you believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell? Can I tell you what? Most people don't believe in hell at all anymore. At all. Ask them. And neither did he. He said, well, I believe there's kind of, could be a dark place. Some kind of dark place. I said, so not like the hell like the Bible teaches. You know what? No. He was like, no. It was interesting because his background, his parents were both, he said, my parents, my whole family, they're all evangelists. Was born in and knew the Bible. But as we started to talk, there was no absolutes. Let me tell you something about 20 and 30 somethings generally, and even 40 somethings. You know what? There's you know what, 2 and 2 might equal 4 on a Thursday if it's raining. But everything is relative. Everything is relative. So what was interesting as I'm having this conversation, you know what, I asked him, I said, well, so when Jesus says, and I'm just asking, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one gets to the Father except through me. I said, do you believe in the fact that Jesus says, I'm the only way? There's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved except through me. I said, well, was Jesus just a egotist? He said, exactly. It's exactly. That's exactly what he was. But then he went on, later on, to tell me, but we should follow his ways. And to say, God bless me. And just, you know what, very respectful, very kind. But there's no, listen, In many young people's minds, there's no absolutes. Can I proclaim the truth today? 2 and 2 does equal 4. And it equals 4 on a Tuesday and on a Wednesday. And if you have, you know what, red shoes on, you know, and bald, or whether you have green shoes on and you have a lot of hair, it doesn't make any difference. 2 and 2 equals 4. That's just how it is. There are truths. And so I want to set some standards and go over some things, not because I believe them, but because the Word says them. Yes. Let me tell you what, there is nothing more true. There is nothing more that you can rely on than this Word. Right. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but let me tell you what, this will never pass away. There is nothing more true than this. So I want to answer some questions quickly. The number one question I have is this: will men be judged? Will men be judged? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, it's interesting in Galatians, and it tells you before, it says, look, do not be deceived. Why? Because God knows people are going to be deceived on this. People don't understand. There is truth. And here's the truth. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Whatever he sows, he will. Say that. Whatever he sows, he will. He will. He will. And I will. Now, here's a good thing. You know what? You can sow seeds of righteousness and have wonderful, great seeds. Look what it says. You know what? Go back. You jumped you. Look, God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Next verse now. Thanks, guys. For he who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap of everlasting. People will sow. There is a judgment coming. You just read it. We read our Bible when? We read our Bible when? Every day. We read our Bible every day, and you read it this week. Hebrews, you know what? Chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Let me tell you what. I don't care how tall you are, how short you are. I don't care if you like burritos or Tommy's burgers. At some point in time, you and I are going to die. And after you die, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be judged. After you die, you're going to be judged. That's the truth. Yes. Side note. The Bible says you're going to be judged by every word that comes out of your mouth. Side note, but interesting note we need to hear. Really, not a side note at all. I just gave them peace of my mind. You know what? Love you guys. You should have not done that. We are way more careless with our words than we should be. Number one, men will be judged, and you will be judged, and I will be judged, and nations will be judged. Number two, so why would anyone turn from God? If we're all going to be judged, and if we're going to be judged by God according to his word, and that's what the Bible says, that's what Jesus said, you're going to be judged by this. If that's true, and it is, then why in the world would anybody turn from God? Ooh, that's a good question, is it not? You ever thought, why are people, you know, people do some wicked things, amen? Even people who proclaim they're not wicked do wicked things, hurtful things to other people. Why? Here's why. Can I tell you why? The Bible tells you why. It's great scripture for us to learn today. Look what the Bible says in Psalms. Found this reading Psalms the other day. Found this. This is awesome. Look what it says. Here's what the Bible says. I just want to be honest. I've been reading Psalms, but I didn't find this. I looked this up the other day. Sorry, I just was getting detail, but probably way more information than you need here. But anyway, look what it says in Psalms 10:13. Why do the wicked renounce God? Why does somebody renounce God? Why does somebody turn from God? Here's why. He has said in his heart, he really believes this. Here's what he believes. He believes you will not require an account. There's no accountability. There might be a God. How many know? If you think there's not, how many know? Many people don't think there's a God. If you think there's a God, then you certainly don't think that God's going to judge you when you die. There's no accountability. That's why they're wicked. That's why they turn from God, because they don't think they're going to be accountable. Here, you want me to prove my point? I'll prove it to you. Watch this. Great illustration. How many ever gone to Shakey's? See, I just proved my point. How many gone to Shakey's bunch of lunch? And how many of you, come on, be honest, we're in church. How many, when you go to Shakey's bunch of lunch, you eat four times what you normally would have eaten? Okay, I'm sorry, I exaggerated. Three times. Somebody raise their hand. Somebody be honest. You eat more. Why? Because there's no accountability. You paid your $8.95 and you won't get it. You're going to get your money's worth. You're going to get more than. There's no accountability. Listen, the day before when you went to Tommy's, you didn't eat that much. Why? Because you bought one meal. It was good. And you said, I'm not going to spend another $8 for another burger. I'm fine. But you didn't say that when you were at Shakey's, did you? Right? Why? Because, see, there's no accountability. And how many know, even at your Shakey's, how many know there's accountability? How many know there's calorie accountability? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what you need to understand. That, you know what, when you think, when people think that they're just going to die and they're just going to die and everybody goes to heaven and there's not really a God, and these are fundamental beliefs that our nation really holds true. And it's why we're turning from the things of God. Right there in the Word. That's why. Because they think there's no accountability. Notice I said they think there's no accountability. Hebrews says there's accountability. Number three, we're just setting a foundation, but this is an important foundation that we set before we go to where, how do we escape from the judgment that I believe is coming. Number three, what do we know about the ways of God? Well, we know a couple things. One thing that we know is we know from the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says this, says that God's ways are pure. Everybody say pure. And he is a shield of those who put their trust in him. Now that's an interesting point. We're going to get to that in a minute. But God's word is pure. Everybody say pure. Pure meaning that it's consistent. It is always good all the time. Every piece, you know what I mean? Every angle. You can't cut God's word in any way that you don't come like a cake, like a chocolate cake that has chocolate icing and chocolate filling and chocolate drizzle on it. Every part is good. Yeah, no. Every part is chocolate. Right? That's like the word. The word of God is pure. It's always good. What else do we know about the word of God? It's always perfect. Everybody say perfect. Perfect. It's always good. It's always perfect. Every word of God is... next verse. Psalms 18. For as for God, his way is perfect. Everybody say his way is perfect. God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. And then notice the same different writer notices the same thing. He is a shield to all who trust him. That's the same thing that we just read from another. What are these authors recognizing? Wait a minute. There's a way of escape. There's a way in the midst of judgment that God will be a shield. What's a shield? A shield was something that they would put up, and they would put up in the midst of a turmoil, in the midst of a war, in the midst of arrows coming at you, and you'd put up that shield, and because you were behind that shield, it would protect you from that calamity. The Bible says that those who put their trust in God, he's a shield to them. Amen. Amen. Final thing, here's what we know from Isaiah. We know that God's ways are what? Higher than our ways. If there's somehow that we could collectively take all our intelligence together and come up with a super intelligent person, how many know that person wouldn't be close to as intelligent as God is? God's ways are higher than our ways. His ways are pure, his ways are perfect, and his ways are higher than our ways. That's what we know about God. Now, let's go back to talking about our nation for a little bit. We have seen a nation that once believed in some things, and now, I believe, because the Bible says it, because they don't really believe there's accountability, they've turned from God, and they are drifting and believing something else. I have this because I want you to see it. You know what? And I want you to know this. I pray for our president. I consistently pray for our president. I consistently pray for his wife. I consistently pray for our kid. His two daughters. I consistently pray for their protection. But what I've seen over the years is that the administration that is in office right now has at one point attested to specifically, you'll see in a minute where he says, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Later on, to say something directly opposite. And he'll attest to that. But it's not just him. It's not just him. It's also, you know what, the Supreme Court. There was a day not too long ago that there's no way same-sex marriage would be declared by the Supreme Court that is a constitutional right. Which, let me just tell you, there are so many, I'm trying to think what they call scholars, legal scholars, who say that is absolutely preposterous, that they could find that in the Constitution. See, the Supreme Court, let me just teach you how this goes, because some of you forgot it in the civics class, and some of you who are younger never got it taught it in the first place. But the Congress and the Senate pass laws. But if those laws aren't according to our Constitution, the Supreme Court, you know what, is able to nullify those laws. And so the Supreme Court has declared that marriage between a man has a right, in America, has a right to marry a man, and a woman has a right to marry a woman, a legal right, a constitutional right. Well, there was a time when the president didn't believe that. There was a time when the president said he doesn't believe that. And then there was a time later on that he said, I do believe it. I changed my mind. There was a time when the Supreme Court never would have passed that law. Never, ever, ever, ever. There was a time in America when abortion, if you were pregnant, it was illegal for you to get an abortion. In America, it was illegal for you to get an abortion. Now, let me talk about abortion for a minute. The reason why abortion is wrong is because some people, you're not sympathetic. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. The reason why abortion is wrong is because, you know what, when the egg meets the sperm at inception, that there's a child there, very, very small child. You know, when Chanel was pregnant with Isaac, you know what? Isaac was here. We couldn't see Isaac. That's why if you get an ultrasound, what are you getting an ultrasound for? You want to see the baby. The baby, amen? The baby's here. The baby is just covered, right? But the baby's here. And it's interesting because in 1972 or 73, when Roe versus Wade changed the whole law, you know what? There wasn't as much technology as far as medical proof that there was a child. But now it is. Let me tell you, that's why it's wrong. And in America, listen to me. You know, about 9/11, about 3,000 to 4,000 people were killed in one day. And we look at that and say, that's horrific. That's awful. Can I tell you what? That takes place every day in America. Every day. Every day. A 9/11, every day. 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 Now, let me stop and take time out. Because, you know what, maybe, and I don't know, maybe you've had an abortion. Or maybe you've been part of abortion. Because how many know it takes two to tango? Amen? I mean, come on. Let's get deep here. How many takes two people to have a baby? And let me tell you about Satan. Satan will shame men just like he'll shame women. So if you've had an abortion or if you've been part of an abortion, let me just tell you this. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. I'm not here bringing up abortion to try to be self-righteous. You know what? Ooh, you know what? That's you're killing someone. You shouldn't have been. Can I tell you what? Duh. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. But I'm here to tell you the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen. That there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking that level. What I'm talking about is us killing legally 3,000. Why was 9/11 so horrific? Because it was innocent people. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. He hates it. Read your Old Testament. You're going to read it. Well, it's in the New Testament too. You're going to read that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because God doesn't change. He hates that. People just got up in the morning, went to work, and they were killed. Parents, moms and dads, never returning to their kids. Just because somebody hated somebody else. And it was the shedding of innocent blood. Can I tell you what? It's the same thing. It's the shedding of innocent blood. And we see it. You know, there's been more abortions in America. You know what? Listen to this. In 1 year. Everybody say 1 year.
1 year.
1 year. Than all the men that have died ever, men and women that have died in all our wars put together in America, in 1 year, that happens. Every year. Every year. Every year. And we think, here's what trips me out. What trips me out is, you know what? It doesn't make any difference. Oh, listen to me, somebody. I've lived long enough to see and think it's going to change. It's going to change. It's going to change. It's going to change. And we continue to elect people in office that will not change it. I don't have the quotes, but if I quoted you the founder of Planned Parenthood, and if I shared with you her beliefs, I'm telling you what. This was evil that was has developed in our country. And we've got to stand up and just say, it's wrong. Just stand up and say, it's wrong. We're not gonna tolerate it anymore. Lincoln also said, we're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But let me tell you what, as our government continues to year after year after year after year continue to allow Roe versus Wade to happen, as we continue to allow that to happen, there's going to be a ramification. As we continue to turn our backs on God. And here's the deal. You're like, Pastor, well, what do we do? What do we do? I'm going to answer that question. What did Noah do? How many know Noah lived right in the middle of judgment? Radical judgment. See, can I tell you what? God wants to save. He always wants to save. So what did Noah do? Well, here's what the Bible says Noah did. Noah walked with God. Everybody say walked with God. Genesis, you know what? Says Noah walked with God. Well, how did that change? It changed everything. Can I tell you what? If you'll walk with God, you'll become smart. Amen. Like God.
Yes.
Thank you. You will. Because you'll start, it's wisdom by association. Amen. Amen. You know, you ever not said a word and then you start hanging around with somebody who says that word all the time? And all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I don't know. Now I can't even think of a fancy word right now. You know what I mean? But I'm trying to think of one. Facetious. You're being facetious. You're being facetious. That's facetious. Not so facetious. You know what I mean? 3 months ago, you didn't even know what that word means. You know what I mean? Ooh, you're being facetious. You know what I mean? What happened? You start hanging around somebody who uses that word. Next thing you're using that word. Well, we can do the same thing. What happened to Noah? Here's what happened to Noah. Noah hung out. The Bible says he walked with God. And when he walked with God, guess what God did? God spoke to him. God speaks to Noah and he says, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be this judgment. This judgment's happening. And here's what's going to happen. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to prepare yourself an ark. Oh, this nation, they're going, you know, all of the, hey, listen, prepare. Here's what I'm saying. Prepare yourself an ark. Prepare yourself an ark. How do you do that? Here's what happened. He hung out with God. He walked with God, and God spoke to him. And when God spoke to him, he said, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to tell you what to do. I want you to build an ark. And here's what I want you to build it. I want you to build it, you know what, 300 cubits by 500 cubits. Now, guess what? 300 cubits by 500 cubits, guess what? The military says that the most stable ship that can ever be made is that ratio. 300 cubits by 50 cubits. It's a 1.6 ratio. That's what it is. And guess what? How many know God knew it before the Naval Academy knew it? Amen. They say that if you build a ship like that, they say it's virtually impossible for it to capsize. I mean, God is a lot smarter than we are. His ways are higher. But he tells Noah that. But here's the key. Here's the key. Several keys. Noah walked with God. When Noah walked with God, God spoke to him. And when God spoke to him, then Noah, and this huge key, Noah did what he said. Hey, have you ever done something silly in your life, and you're just like, oh, you ever said this? Man, I'm so stupid. Amen. Come on, tell the truth. You ever actually said that? Man, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I'm so dumb. Okay, am I the only one? Here, somebody tell the truth. How many have said that to yourself more than twice? Raise your hand. Come on, somebody. I'm so stupid. I'm so dumb. I can't believe I did that. Okay, you know what? Can I tell you what? Here's the deal. When you're hanging out with God, let me tell you what. God's going to speak to you. And God is not going to lead you to a bad path. He's going to see, because he knows the beginning from there. He's going to say, boop, 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 boop. What are you doing? What are you doing going to the nightclub? What are you thinking? There's some, you know, good-looking dudes at that nightclub. No, there's some idiots at that nightclub. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know what? And they might not have, you know what, they might have cool shoes, and they might have a cool belt, and they might have cool hair, but you know what? They are ding. They put the ding in ding dong. No, really. You know what? And then you're going, Pastor George, this is a good sermon. And then you're going to get drunk, and then you're going to start dancing, and they're going to say, ooh, baby, you're fine. And next thing you know, you're going to do some things, and you're like, you know what? And the whole time, God was shouting at you. You know, you ever get in, I've done this. Well, not that. Actually, I better move on, because I'm getting deeper and deeper. I need to move out of that. No, not that. But listen, you know, I've gotten in fights with my wife. I've gotten in fights with my wife and heard the Holy Spirit say, don't say that. And something inside, somebody said, yeah, right now. Okay. And something inside said, don't say that. Don't do that. But I just thought, I tell you a story the other day. The other day, this is a true story. You don't have to believe it. I'm just telling you the truth. True story. You know what? I came in to praise practice. It was a Friday night. I caught the end of it. I wanted to catch more, but I caught the end of it. And so I came directly in here. I know I had my church keys. And you know what? And when it's time to leave, I didn't go anywhere. I was just here. And Angel was gracious. He helped, you know, his pastor look for his church. Oh, I looked for almost an hour. I'm like, unbelievable. I know they're here. And true story. The Holy Spirit said, they're in the planters outside. What do they call these? These twirly ones. They're in the topiaries. They're in the topiaries. Right next to the gray papa. And I thought, that's stupid. And so I looked in one, and I looked real casually. We looked all over, couldn't find it. You know what? I get home. I say, honey, I can't. Actually, they weren't even my keys. They were her keys. I can't believe it. I had them. I don't know where they are. Blah, 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 blah. Next day, you know what? We find the keys. Guess where the keys are? In the topiary. Pastor, how did they get there? I have no idea. I was just walking by. Ooh, I'm going to throw my keys in the topiaries or whatever they call them. You know, it didn't make any sense. But I didn't have to make sense out of it. Did it make any sense? See, we're calculating everything. We're going, oh, if it makes sense to me, then I'll do it. You know what I mean? It makes sense. If it's comfortable to me, then I'll go to church. You know what I mean? Here's what the Bible says. Don't forsake the gathering of the brethren, especially. I don't know if you notice this, but God is coming back soon, especially as his day is approaching. Pastor, how come your kids, man, how come you raise such good kids? Well, let me tell you what. My kids are good kids. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And pray for Tamara and I. Pray for our children. You should be praying for your pastors all the time. But let me tell you what. One of the reasons why our kids are who they are is because they have been indoctrinated. We come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and 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 every Sunday and every Wednesday, and that there's an accumulative effect that it will have in your life, and it will have a cumulative effect in your kid's life. Listen, parents, listen, grandkids, figure out what you're going to do. But I tell you what, if I were you, I would get your kids here every Sunday and every Wednesday. And I don't care about if you got to throw a burrito, here, son, eat a burrito on the way. But you know what? You're coming. We're coming to church on Sunday. Man, you know what they have to have? Listen, just throw them a burrito. You know what? Figure it out, but get here. Amen. And if it's good for your kids, what do you think it won't have the same accumulative effect in your life? Yeah. Of course it does. And so, you know what? And so we calculate. Well, I don't know. I don't think. Well, I'm not going there. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. Oh my goodness. What we need to do is we need to do what Noah did. We need to walk with God, and we need to if we will just set some time aside. Set some time. How do you walk with God? You gotta set some time aside. Tamara and I have a porch, and we have a nice porch. In that porch, you know, we hardly ever went out there and talked, ever, because we had some chairs out there, and they weren't really comfortable. But my wife, who's mucho inteligente, we had this swing in our front yard. But the swing, it was always in, anyway, we put the swing on the porch, and now we swing on the porch, and we talk. And it's good. You know what? Figure out what you got to do. But walk with God, because if you'll walk with God, he'll speak to you. That's right. And when he speaks to you, when he tells you the keys are in the topiaries, don't go, that's dumb. Just start looking in the topiaries, because that's where your keys are. Three things and I'll close. I've already said them, but I'm going to say it again. God's not a respecter of persons. How did Moses get out of his mess? Here's how he did it. He walked with God. When he walked with God, God spoke to him, number two. Number three, and then when God spoke to him, he did what God told him to do. He did what God told him to do. I said one more thing, but this is one more thing because I just got to teach this to you. There are people, and they're not disciplined, so they don't read the Bible every day, but they'll come to church once a month, twice a month, maybe even every week, but here's the problem with only hearing God this way. I'll say it like only hearing God this way and not hearing God this way. It's a big problem. Because the Bible says that we see dimly like through a glass. So even in the prophetic, even when somebody says, thus saith the Lord, I am checking. John Wimber. And I was in Bible college, and one of our requirements was go to a mega church. Well, I went to John Wimber's church in Anaheim. And three people got up in the service because he wanted people to be prophetic. And so three people got in the service, and they got up and they said, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And the whole time, John Wimber was up there listening to what they were saying with a mindset, what does the word say? And when they got done, he said, now let's talk about what God said. Over here, this person said this, and they were right on, and he talked about it. And then he said, and then this person said this over here, and they were right on, and then he talked about it, he said, but this person over here, I didn't mean to point to somebody here, okay? But he said, this person here, you know what? God bless you, and I appreciate you trying and effort and all that. I really do. But I need to correct you and say, this is wrong, and here's why. And then he quoted three passages of scripture that indicated why this person was wrong. I need to say this. I've been around Christianity long enough to know. You know what? There's these, and many of them, I'm just being honest with you, many of them are what I call hobo Christians. They are the most in their own mind. They're legends in their own mind, and they're the most spiritual. But they're not spiritual enough to come and say, that's my church. You know what? I tithe there, and that's my pastor. They don't say that. They're unsubmitted to everyone. And this is just a side note, but, well, okay. So anyway, that's why it's important to not, I walk with God. He talks to me. Well, do you read your Bible every day? No, I don't. Your Bible is an anchor to your soul. And you have to be anchored. You cannot just, listen, somebody who's really walking with God, because the Bible says we see dimly like through a glass. This word of God is a protection that you not get off into all kinds of tangents. And it's easy. All of us can happen. That can happen to any of us. Side note, but important note. Number one, you need to walk with God. And what I'm talking about walking with God is I'm talking about listening to his word and reading his word and listening to the sermon more than once. Listening to the sermon more than once. I'll ask you next week, did you listen to this sermon? I will ask you. And my humble advice is that you say yes. And then you take some time and really do it. And then you read just a chapter a day. And if you take time to walk with God, he'll speak to you. And what will happen is, you know what? Then just be obedient to whatever he asks you to do. Walk with God. You know what? He'll speak to you. Then do what he says. Your life will be changed forever. You'll come back next year. Let me tell you, a lady texted me, you know what, this week and said, Pastor, thank you for challenge. She said, I've been challenged. She said, I've been listening to your sermon over and over and over again. She said, you know what, it's been the most miraculous thing. My life has changed. She said, I'm so much happier and so more optimistic and I'm just filled with joy and I'm sharing Jesus with everybody. God's not a respecter person. God wants to be real in your life. Can I tell you what? There's only one kind of saved person. There's only one kind of saved person. You know what it is? It's radically saved. we live in America, and there's this meteor, there's this one foot in, one foot out. I'm a casual Christian. Can I tell you what? I'm sorry. It's just not in here. Pastor, what do you want me to do? You want me to get all get all weird? No, I'm not asking you to get all weird. I'm asking you to walk with God. I'm asking you just read a chapter a day. That's all I'm asking you. And I'm asking you just listen to this sermon again. At least once before next week. I guarantee you, here's what's going to happen. You know what? You're going to look prettier. You're going to smell nicer. You know what I mean? Everybody else going to look better to you. You know what I mean? You're going to become optimistic. You're going to be full of joy and peace. And you know what? Because let me tell you what. God's ways are dripping with abundance. Tamara.
It's interesting. I just learned about the topiary with you, and I knew the keys were lost, but he didn't share that part.
I'm not as detailed.
Yeah. Well, Pastor and I have both been very candid in the past year that the Spirit of God will say things to us, and they seem so insignificant, we just blow them off that that's not God. Remember when I talked about the Holy Spirit saying, bringing milk home, you know, why don't you call and see if they need anything at home? And the grocery store had shut down by our house, so if you needed a gallon of milk, it was a big Cracker Jack, because we couldn't just go run and get it easy. So, and I just thought, it'll be fine, that's not God. And I went home. I no more than walked in the door. My mom said, you didn't by any chance bring any milk, did you? But stuff like that kept on happening, seemed very insignificant. And it was like, God, what is going on? I mean, all of a sudden you care about milk and bread and, you know what I mean, paper clips and, you know, all that. Whoa, what's going on? Here's what's going on. I need you to hear me, know that it's me, and then do exactly what I tell you to do right away. Stop discounting off like that. Because you're going into a time that will not benefit you. Now, in the past year when this was going on, we were just like sharing with everyone, hey, we really need to sharpen our pencil hearing God, and we really need to, this is what God is saying, and you know what I mean? This is where we need to move, and we kind of didn't understand why. Well, recently, we're understanding a lot more why. As what's happening, and we shared this over the last couple of weeks, what's happening is the protection of God is lifting off of our nation as our nation turns away from God and has no use for God. We don't walk in the blessings and the protection when we don't have God. You have been living a life with blessings and protection that you can see, if you'll begin to look, that we are losing on a daily basis. But what does that mean to God's people? Are we all doomed to that? Well, no. That means that you used to get this corporate protection that was there for our nation, and you need to move into taking a lot more responsibility for your protection, your provision, and everything else. Because it's lifting off of our nation, and the ones who will still have it are those who are His. Those who are walking with Him. Those who are obeying Him. And if that's not you, then you're out. You're out in the cold. So God loves us, and He's saying, hey, come on. Get in. Listen to me. You're going to need this. It is not time to talk the talk and not walk the walk. Not anymore. So as He's sharing the topiary story right now, I'm thinking, see? Blew that one. Thank goodness it was just the keys in the topiary, right? But as we're sitting here talking about this, in, I think, Louisiana, Baltimore, there are hostages right now in a Burger King being held. Three police officers are dead, three more wounded, and hostages being held inside a Burger King. What if Pastor Drew had stopped to get a burger and he heard the Holy Spirit say, no, don't go in the Burger King and get burger right now. Not now. That's not God. And he goes in and gets a burger. Do you see it? Do you see it? That's where we're at. But, you know what? How do we, you know what, make sure that we're hearing him? It's what God is telling us. We need to be in his word. Listen to this, what it says about Noah. This is very cool. So it's going through this genealogy in Genesis chapter 5. And when it gets to Noah, this it says about Noah. And it doesn't say anything about anyone else being born. But when Noah is born, look at what it says. Oh, my phone just turned off. He had a son. He named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground being cursed. Now, the reason why that's so significant, see, Noah was able to save his whole family. How? Because he walked with God and he obeyed him. Heard what he said and he did it. Right? So he's able to save his whole family. Well, right when he was born, it's talking about the ground's going to be cursed, but Noah's going to be the one. In Deuteronomy, I was sharing in the morning service, in Deuteronomy, it's talking about, you know what, a nation, and it's talking about our children. And in the beginning of Deuteronomy, I think it's right in chapter 1, 11:1, he says, you know what, love the Lord your God and keep his commandments, his decrees, and his laws always. Always. So that's Deuteronomy 11:1. But then we go ahead and we get into Deuteronomy, and look at what, here we go. Be careful that you're not enticed and that you turn away and you worship other gods and bow down unto them. Sorry, guys. I need to start bringing my paper Bible. I really get mixed up. Okay, so stay with me. 11:18. Fix these words of mine. What's he talking about? His commandments, his statutes, everything that he's saying. He's talking to them early in the chapter. Fix these words of mine on your heart and on your mind. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many, as the Lord swore to you to give your ancestors, and many of the days that the heavens and above the earth. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods. You know what? We get away from God and we don't have time to be in his word because we're into, you name it. What are you doing? You know what I mean? It's other things, other gods that we get into. Gods, you know, what do we want to do? Entertainment, we're going to get into our internet, our email, our social. What are we doing that we don't have time for this? I don't know. So if you faithfully obey the commands that I'm giving you today, you know what, as the Lord your God, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. And this goes into, we can either walk in these blessings, and if we're not doing these things, then we walk in the cursings. And in Noah there, he's talking about the cursed land. See, everyone got, no one's, and that's what we see happening in our nation today. And so God is saying to us, hey, listen, you have an opportunity in the midst and of what's going on, you know what, to regardless, and listen, isn't this interesting? Because in the opening prayer with Jonathan Cahn, as he's talking at the prayer breakfast, You know what? Here's what happened in our Bibles, guys. Let's see if this sounds familiar to us. The prophets would come and they would warn to stop be doing opposite of what God had said. Stop it. You know what? You've got to repent. Stop it. You've got to repent. Stop it. Turn back to God. Stop it. Turn back to God. And then they don't, when they kill the prophets, that's what they would do. They would kill the prophets. They don't want to hear that. They're all up in whatever they want to be up in. We're not talking about just a history story here. See if you do not see the parallels to us, because it's us that God is talking about. That's why we have our Bibles. So Jonathan Kahn is calling. There's two things that's going to happen. He's calling for this repentance, that there would be revival and healing in our nation. Or here's the other thing that could take place. Two things can take place. Or we can be stiff-necked and prideful and continue to not need God, and then judgment comes. Now, this is exactly what was happening all the time. But watch this. This is really, really, really important, what I'm about to say next. But when he's talking about repentance and revival, who's he talking to? How does healing come to a land that is being cursed? God's talking to his people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. I'm telling you right now, what we need to take responsibility for what we see happening in our nation. Because if you're either not voting at all, or if you're voting for people who do not hold the statutes of God, you know what, important to them. I'm so tired of people, voting a certain way. Because, I'm union, and so that's the brothers of the union, that's what we do. Really? Because you confess to be a believer in Jesus Christ. See, so I've never aborted anyone, I've never killed anyone, I've never this, whatever. But are you either not making sure that God's people are in position? Or, you know what, are you not caring? Or do you only vote, economically what's going to benefit you? And not care whether someone, lines up with God's ways or doesn't line up with God's ways. Or you vote a certain way because that's what we are. That's my whole family's always been that way. Well, who are your brothers and sisters according to the Word of God? Those who do the will of the Father. We have to take responsibility. We have to repent. Everything that's taking place in this nation today, every one of us is responsible for it to some degree. People don't get in office in our nation, because they just do a coup and take over. They get in office in our nation because, they're elected there by the people. And if you ain't one of the people who's been stepping up to make sure that that's God's ways, then you need to fix that. But we're still all in this boat together. And God tells us how we get out of it. He wants his people to humble themselves and pray and repent for where we're at. So we're either going to go into revival and healing, or we're going to go into this judgment that comes as a nation ends up cursed from turning their back on God. So we need to take responsibility and do our part as far as our nation, but we also, but we also need to be sure that our relationship is tight with God, that regardless of what happens in our nation, that we, like Noah, will save ourselves and our families. And you're not going to do that. Jesus called it lukewarm, with one foot in and one foot out. It's not going to happen that way. It's a time for us to all get all in. The Bible says that when we see, you know what, these things coming in the last days, when we see all this taking place, that we're to gather together more than ever. It is not a time not to be in the Word of God, in the house of God. Amen? Amen. You got that video shown already, so, okay. It's amazing, as I heard Jonathan at that prayer breakfast, it's like, oh my goodness. He is a prophet to our nation. You know what? And we as God's people hold the key. Revival begins right here. As I get serious with myself and just go and realize, you know what, that I have stepped away from God and I am not as all in as I should be, and I get in. And as each one of us does that, you know what, the Spirit of God just begins to fuel us and we end up fueling others around us. And everything changes one person at a time. Amen? Amen. Amen.